How many of you really, really like to wait? I've got kids already making Christmas lists. You know, we spend a lot of time in our life waiting, though, don't we? A lot of times. I remember when I was a kid at home, and my older brother, my older sister were both in school. I couldn't wait to go to school because they were going to school. I couldn't wait to do that. And then I started school, and I cried like every day for the first couple of weeks in kindergarten. The teacher didn't know what to do with me. She set me at her desk. I still remember her sweater on the back seat of the chair, sitting at her desk crying because I didn't want to be there. I came home the first day with a wad of tissues in my hand, and I know my mom knew what was going on, but she acted like she didn't. She said, "What's going on?" I said, "I don't know. I guess I'm getting a cold." She said, "Well, we'll send you with a hanky tomorrow." I couldn't wait to get to school, and then once I started school, I couldn't wait to be done. And then life grew, and then, you know, later on, I couldn't wait to go to college, and then I couldn't wait to find that ACB, that awesome Christian babe, and then I finally found her and got married. And then I couldn't wait to have kids, and you know, you spend a lot of time waiting. There are many things that test our patience, like freeways and the Walmart checkout lines and doctor's offices and irritating people. In ministry, we have a name for those. We call them EGRs. That stands for extra grace required people. Now, none of you are EGRs, of course. That would be somebody else somewhere else, but they happen in life, don't they? Extra grace required. Friends, we hate to wait because we're the now generation. We're the now generation. How many of you like waiting for food when you're hungry? We have one or two people in the office during the week on staff who get a little hangry around lunchtime. I'll let you guess on who that might be, but it happens. And why is it that you wait the longest in the so-called nice restaurants? That's when you really wait. They're called nice because they're nice and slow as you wait for your food. I mean, think about it. You actually have like five different things you wait on at a nice restaurant. First, you wait to be seated. Then you wait to get a menu. Then you wait to place your order and get the food. And then you wait for the bill. And, you know, they call the guy that attends you the waiter. I think we're the waiters in that situation. That's how it should be. We're in week two of a series within our greater season. We're in a season of do around here, of stepping out and doing what God's calling us to do. And this is the second message series, second part of that, of a series, a message series called Do All You Can. Do all you can, because we're realizing that in all we do it for the glory of God. That's what the Bible tells us. Everything we do, we're to do for God's glory. So we're to give all we have in every area of our life and all that we're doing. In today's message, and doing all we can, we're going to talk about doing all we can to develop patience. To develop patience. And some of you are like, "I'm leaving right now. I don't want to hear about that because I'm not very good with patience." I heard one time that you should never ask God for patience because he'll give it to you, but he'll give it to you by teaching it to you through a lot of impatience. Through impatient circumstances. God isn't in the business of giving out character. He's in the business of building character. So he'll build patience in you when you want patience. But I'll tell you, understand that praying for patience is worth it. Because after you've gone through it and you've learned what patience is and have gained patience from it, you'll find that it's a much, much greater value than being impatient. So it is worth it, but you have to be ready for it as you pray for it. Let's open with prayer this morning to patiently go before God, asking that he'll speak to us as we get into this matter. God, you are the most patient being ever. I know that because I know how patient you've been with me and how patient you've been with each person in this room. Because God, we really are a bunch of screw-ups often. We go our own way so much of the time and not your way, and yet you're patiently waiting there for us, waiting for us to step back to you. But God, you're not just patient just because you're patient. You're patient because it's who you are and because it's who you've created us to be. It's a character trait that can be in us. And we want to do all we can, God, to be patient the way that you are with us, with you and with others in our life. So teach us today as we talk about that. Lord, help us to learn more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We've been moving around in this series. We're going to be doing that through the book of James, and not in any particular order, just plucking out portions of it all around as they have to do with this theme of doing all we can. And today we're looking at a section from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. I'm going to read that whole section together, and then we'll kind of take it apart as we go through. So here's the passage from James 5, 7 through 12. It says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned." Friends, James isn't saying that we're going to be patient all the time in everything, but there are three special times where we need an extra dose of patience. And the first is this: we need patience when circumstances are uncontrollable. When they're uncontrollable. I mean, listen, friends, the simple truth is that there's a lot in life that's beyond your control. It just isn't in your control. Now, it's not going to stop you from trying to be in control, but that just makes you a little nuts and a little crazy because you can't control it. You cannot keep your thumb on everything. And James uses a farmer as an example for that when he talks about circumstances that are uncontrollable in James 5, 7. He says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is in the autumn and spring rains." I talked a few weeks ago about how I believe that farmers have just amazing faith. But let me also say to you, if you're going to be a farmer, you better also have patience. Because part of the job descriptions for farmers is waiting. You wait to till, then you wait to plant, then you wait to prune, you wait to harvest. There's a lot of factors in waiting. Yet more than just those factors that the farmer has to do in his waiting, there are the factors that he has no control over, like the weather and the rain and the heat and the economy and labor practices. Being a farmer takes patience. And James recognized that even in his day with farmers. And that's why he illustrates patience with this example of a farmer. Have you noticed that when we realize a situation is beyond our control, we still try to control it anyway? And how do we do that? We try to control it by worrying. We worry. We think that worry is somehow going to help and control the situation that I've got no control over. To worry about something you can change is dumb. If you can change it, change it. But also to worry about something you can't change, it's just useless. It's useless worry. Either way, worry doesn't give you any more control, and you shouldn't do it. That's why we need to be patient in uncontrollable circumstances. The second place we need an extra dose of patience is we need to be patient when people are unchangeable. When they're unchangeable. Now, let's first acknowledge this fact, that through Jesus, everyone is changeable. Through Jesus, everyone's changeable, but let's also acknowledge that without Jesus, we're not very changeable. Some people aren't open to God changing them, at least not at this moment, at this particular time in their life. So why is it that we think we're going to be able to change them when they're not even open to God changing them? When people won't change, James gives us the example of patience with the prophets. In James 5:10, he says, "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." Now, what's he talking about there? The duty of the prophets was to help people change. It was to help bring people back to God, to lead them to be different in their behavior. But have you noticed that people resist change? They do. Many people, myself included, resist even the littlest amount of change when we suggest change to them. So the prophets would speak to these people, but if they wouldn't change, they couldn't control it. Is there anyone in your life right now who refuses to change? It's difficult to live or to work with a person who refuses to change. We can't change them, and there's a very good chance that they may never change. So James says you need to be patient with these people. The word patience comes from a Greek word, makrothomos. Makrothomos, and macro means this, it means long, and thomos is the word that we get thermometer from. It means heat. It literally means it takes a long time to get you hot, to get you heated over something. Some of you say, well, it doesn't take a long time for me to get hot. That's right, because you're not patient. You're not patient. Friends, we're to do all that we can to surrender to the Holy Spirit, who will empower us to have a long fuse and not a big bomb. Not to get overheated with people. Because we can't, and it's not our job to change others. It's the Holy Spirit's job. Only the Holy Spirit can change someone else. Not you or me. James says we need to be patient when circumstances are uncontrollable and when people are uncontrollable. And the third thing, time is this, we need to be patient when problems are unexplainable. James shares the classic example of this in James chapter 5, the second part of verse 11. He says, you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now, if you know Job's story, then you know that Job played in the Super Bowl of suffering. I mean, he really went through it. Yet Job was the champion at the end of the day. Job was wealthy. He had everything going for him. And in a two-day period, everything fell apart. He went bankrupt. He lost his children. They were killed. He got an incurable, deadly disease that was painful. I mean, you think you have problems. You think you've had a rough day. He lost his family, his friends, his finances. He was suffering in every kind of way. And one day his wife comes to him and she says, curse God and die. And my first thought when I hear that is, wow, what a support system he's got at home. But you know, you think that through. Job must have been going through unbelievable pain. Things must have been unbelievably bad for him. Someone after the first worship experience came up to me and said, I read a book about Job once. And he said, and the author said, we a lot of times want to be hard on his wife, but she went through all of this loss as well. And she wasn't as faithful as Job. She lost all of her children and all of her possessions as well. Things must have been unbelievably bad for Job's own wife and for his friends to say to him, just curse God and die, you're better off dead. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been like? God allowed the devil to take away everything from Job except his life and his wife. And the worst part of Job's suffering was that he had no idea why it was even happening. For 37 chapters in the book of Job, God doesn't even talk to Job and tell him what's happening. There was no apparent reason for his misfortune. Of all people, Job had the privilege to say, why me? And the truth is that in the account of Job, he didn't even do anything wrong that led to his situation. He'd done nothing. Because, friends, sometimes it just happens. And we don't, and we won't know why. But it just happens. Life isn't fair. That's true. God never said it would be. God never said life would be fair. A lot of things in life just happen. They don't make sense to us, especially as they're happening. And maybe you'll never understand this side of heaven. Job didn't understand. Yet in all of those unexplainable problems, Job maintained his faith. And sometimes we just can't figure out our problems or why they're even happening. But listen, when circumstances are uncontrollable, and when people are unchangeable, and when problems are unexplainable, that's when we really need patience. Why? Well, we're going to talk about that next. James talks about three reasons why we need to be patient, to do all we can to be patient. And the first is this, because God is in control. You need to be patient because God is in control. That's how Job stayed patient. Job knew that he knew that God was in control. James says in James chapter 5, verse 8, you too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. And did you catch that? The Lord's coming is near. Three times in this passage, James says that the Lord's coming is near, that Jesus is coming back, that judgment is coming. That's the ultimate proof that God's in control. Nothing can stop it. The Bible teaches more about Jesus' second coming and about him coming to judge the world than it talked about his first coming. God's in control of history because it's that, exactly that. It's his story. It's his story. He's got it all planned out. Everything is on schedule. Nothing is late. It's all moving toward its planned climax. God's in control. And listen, God's purpose for your life is far greater than any problem that you're facing right now. God's in control. You're not, but that's okay because he is. Here's the second reason to be patient, because God rewards patience. God rewards it. Listen to the first part of James chapter 5. Verse 11, the first part of that verse, it says, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. Now, I want you to find some place on your message outline this morning. It can be on the front or back, in the margin somewhere, and write great big in there the word blessed. The word blessed. Blessed are those who have persevered. Write blessed somewhere on that outline. Because friends, the second part of Job's life was more blessed than the first half. God doubled everything he had. It pays to be patient. There are all kinds of rewards with your patience. Your character grows. You get along with people better. You become happier. You reach goals. There are a lot of benefits to being patient. God rewards it and you'll be honored by others for it as well. Others will notice that you're a patient person. But listen, it's not just on this side of eternity that we're rewarded in our patience. It's also in heaven. Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. He says, blessed are those when people insult you, persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When people put you down because of your faith or they criticize you, be patient because there's going to be a reward for you in heaven. Here's the third reason for us to be patient, because God is working things out. You need to be patient because God has this. He's working things out. Often God is working behind the scenes in ways that you're not even aware of. He's at work when we don't see him at work. Listen to the second part of James chapter 5, 11 again, where it says this. It talks about Job. It says, you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. What the Lord finally brought about, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. God was working the whole time, and Job didn't even know what was going on. When he didn't know what was happening, God was working. The Lord finally brought things about, and when he did, they were full of compassion and mercy. A delay doesn't mean a denial. If you've been praying for an answer to a prayer that you haven't gotten yet, you haven't gotten your answer, you may think, well, God doesn't want to hear about it and he's giving up on your need. You may think he's saying no, but a delay isn't a denial. We have to be patient and learn the difference between no and not yet, because there's a big difference. We want it now because we're the now generation, but we have to be patient. God is at work. Even when we don't see what's going on. God was at work in Job's life without Job even being aware of it. Phillips Brooks was a famous pastor in the 1800s. And there's a story of Phillips Brooks one time when he was in his office pacing the floor frustrated. And somebody walked in and saw him and asked, well, what's the matter, pastor? And he said, I'm in a hurry. And God isn't. And that's how it is sometimes for us, isn't it? That's how we feel. But God's saying, do all you can to be patient because I'm at work here. I'm working it out. We need to remember that although we may feel tied to a situation that seems uncontrollable, God's working behind the scenes. Your situation may be uncontrollable to you, but it's not uncontrollable to God. As a matter of fact, you can begin thanking God. You can begin praising God today for the work that he's already doing for you for tomorrow that you can't even see yet. So what are we supposed to do while we're waiting? While we're doing all we can to be patient? James answers that in three ways. First is this: while you wait, wait expectantly. Wait expectantly. James uses the illustration of farmers, right? To express this, farmers expect the harvest. There's not a farmer out there who in the spring sows the seed and then thinks, well, I just don't know if anything's going to grow this year. I'll plant it, but I'm not sure I'm going to go back to check it to see if it's growing. And I just think I'll plan a vacation in the fall because I'm sure there won't be a harvest. There's no room for Debbie Doubter farmers. No room. A farmer must believe that it's investable, that they've done the right thing in their planting. So what does a farmer do while he's waiting for God to grow the seed? Does he just sit around and watch reruns of Gunsmoke and Bonanza on MeTV? I've heard about Farmer Vision being that antenna, and that's a station my dad's talked about seeing, and my mother-in-law, MeTV, and those old reruns. Is that what they do? No. While he's waiting on the harvest, the farmers are preparing. He's getting ready for God's answer. What's in the farmer's case is the growth. Waiting time is for preparation, which shows expectation. We demonstrate our expectation by our preparation. We get ready for the answer in advance. In Psalm 130, verse 5, it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. Did you catch the expectation in those words? My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. Hope, that's a word of expectation. I'm hoping in the Lord. I'm hoping in his word. My soul waits as I hope. That's expectation. What are you waiting? What are you expecting from God? What are you waiting for? Is it a change in your job situation? And you've just been feeling like you can't take it any longer? Is it some illness or health condition that you're facing? Is it your marriage or financial problems? Are you waiting on the Lord to reach your children, whether your children's still a child or a teen, or that adult that you've been waiting on forever as a child? Is it some personal battle, some spiritual attack? What is it? Are you hoping in the Lord? Are you expecting from God to answer as you're waiting for his response? Friends, if you have hope and you're expecting God to eventually do something, then prove it. Prove that you have hope. And how do you prove that? How do you prove you're expecting something from him? It's simple. What are you doing to get ready for it? You're believing he's going to answer it. So what do you have to do to get ready for when that answer comes? Are you preparing for that answer? Is God's answer, if it came to you today, would you be ready for it? How can you prepare? The way that you get ready for something by preparing in advance. While you're waiting, don't sit watching TV, watching reruns of Gunsmoke and Bonanza. Preparation demonstrates expectation. You see, a lot of times when I'm waiting on God, he's really waiting on me. That's really what's happening. He was ready to give the answer to me a long time ago, but I wasn't ready to receive it. I mean, listen, it's not like God's got to figure it out. God's out there trying to figure out how he's going to deal with your situation. That's not what's going on here. He already knows. It's the timing that's the issue. His timing is always perfect. And sometimes the thing that's holding it up in that timing is your or my readiness. You're not to the point that you're ready to receive it. Or maybe the character he wants to build in you hasn't been fully built yet. Or maybe it's not you at all, but it's somebody else that's around you that he's trying to reach through your situation who's not yet ready. Or maybe you're just not prepared yet for the answer and you couldn't handle it if he gave it to you right now. Waiting is the time to get ready. Expect his answer by preparing for it. It says in the last part of Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23, the last part of 23, it says, then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Those who expect from me will not be disappointed. Here's the second thing to do while you wait, is to wait quietly. Quietly. James points out a revealing fact. Sometimes we have this tendency to run off at the mouth. When we're irritated, when we're tense, when we're under pressure, when we aren't, things aren't going the way and things aren't happening the way we think they should, and we don't feel like we're in control. And he warns us of two things here to avoid. First, in James 5:9, he says, don't grumble against each other. Brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Now, why does James talk about grumbling right in the middle of a talk on patience? Because it's hard to be quiet when you're frustrated. And you are certainly aren't doing all that you can to be patient when you're frustrated. And you want everybody else to know it, that you're frustrated. And sometimes our attitude is, I'll wait if I can gripe about it along the way. If I can complain to everybody else about my waiting. And James says, don't grumble. Don't do it. And the second thing James warns us to avoid in James 5:12, he says, above all, my brothers, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. Does waiting ever tempt you to swear? Are you ever frustrated and you just feel like cussing? I mean, when we let our waiting turn to impatience and that impatience turns to frustration, sometimes we feel like we should say something that we really shouldn't. And James says, don't do it. Not by heaven, that's using the Lord's name in vain. Not by earth, that's earthly profanity. And he says, or not by anything else, that must be everything in between the hand gestures and the language between heaven and earth. Don't do any of it. You see, what often happens when we get uptight and frustrated over circumstances, problems, or people being out of our control is that we take it out on those that are closest to us. We unload on our wives and our husbands and our children and our siblings and our parents, and it's not even their fault. But we're frustrated and we're impatient, and we displace that anger and focus it on the ones that we love the most. And James says, don't do that. Don't do it. Listen to this beautiful passage from the book of the Bible, Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 3. And this is the Living Bible paraphrase. I like the way that it says it. But listen to how beautiful this is. It says, but these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. That means they're going to happen in just the right timing. They won't be overdue a single day. When it's time for it to happen is when it will happen. And we need to be patient and to wait. So you wait expectantly. You wait quietly. And third, you wait confidently. Confidently. And all that he did, Job never lost his confidence. Friends, when the outlook looks bad, you look up. I had a friend from our church here recently tell me. He said that he learned from somebody else that when you're feeling like you're caught in the haze and the fog, you know what that feeling's like? Whether it's mental distress, spiritual distress, physical distress, you just feel like you're caught in the fog and you can't see life clearly. He says, what you got to do is you got to lift your head up above the cloud. And I'm telling you what, that is profound. Have you ever flown on an airplane in a storm or on a gray or cloudy day? I have. And when you look out the window, you can't really see anything, and it's almost kind of scary. And then the plane will go, and it'll push its nose up above the clouds, and you go, and you're flying above the clouds, and all of a sudden, everything is clear. And you see the sun is still shining. It's still there. It never left. But you're up to where things are clear again. It's quite a contrast, and it's amazing. When it looks bad, you've got to look up. You've got to poke your head above the cloud. Lift your head above the clouds. Micah 7:7 says, as for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me. When you have a problem that's unexplainable, a person that's unchangeable, a circumstance that's uncontrollable, then wait confidently. God is working. And how do you wait confidently? Well, still yourself. Don't let your nerves get up. Don't take things into your own hands. Remember whose hands you're in. You're in God's hands, and God's hands are good. And they will not harm you. They will not hurt you. They're gentle. They're caring. He will not drop you. He will not squash you. He has you in this, friends. He has got you. He has all of you in this situation. He is working, and he is diligent, and he is so very, very good. He's good. Psalm 37:7, the first part of that verse tells us how to do all we can to be patient. It says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Friends, where do you need to do all that you can to develop your patience this morning? Do you have uncontrollable circumstances in your life right now? A job situation, a financial concern, an illness situation? Maybe you have an unchangeable person in your life. It's frustrating when you've got to keep telling your kids over and over and over to do the same thing and they don't seem to get it. Even adult kids that you're still telling over and over and over again. It's frustrating when you want your marriage to work and you feel like you're willing to change, but your spouse doesn't seem so willing. It's frustrating when your parents growing old, difficult things start to come out in their life, and the person who you always depended on is now dependent upon you. Or there's that difficult family member who wherever they're around, they're going to cause problems. They're just going to do it, and they're probably never, ever going to change. You need patience with an unchangeable person. You need patience with unexplainable problems. What do you do when you have these kinds of things? Remember what God has said in James. God is in control. It may be out of your control, but it's not out of God's control. Nothing is beyond his power and his purpose. For my life is, his purpose for my life is greater than my problem I'm experiencing right now. So do all you can to develop your patience, and God will reward you. If not in this life, it will be in eternity, and eternity lasts a whole lot longer than this little life that we have here. God is working behind the scenes for a purpose. Let's pray together. God, I understand from personal experience that patience is a very difficult thing. When you're longing and waiting and longing and waiting for something you really are expecting and it just seems it's not happening, it can be so difficult, but it's in that waiting that you're working. You're working all behind us. You're actually working all through us and even right in front of us, and we don't always recognize it, but you're working for something better. If we will simply put our faith in you, if we'll be patient with you, if we'll trust you, if we surrender it to you, if we're holding it ourselves, we're holding it and we're trying to make it work and we're not giving it to you, why would we expect you to take it? Because you've given us free will, so we have to give it to you. We have to turn it over before you're going to start to do anything. And then we have to wait with confidence, with expectation. God, we have to wait trusting you. Back to that song we sang in worship, trusting you. So God, this morning some of us are holding on to some things that are controlling us that we just have to surrender this morning because worry is getting us nowhere. And so today is the day to lay it down. To say, God, I'm giving up control of this circumstance, this situation, this person that I can't change, this unexplainable event. God, I'm just giving it to you right now, and I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to trust you to make the changes that need to happen. And as I wait, I'll wait expecting, and I'll prepare, God, for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Jesus, thank you. We pray in your name. Amen. Friends, I just want to tell you that I know some of you have been waiting a very, very long time for some things in your life. And you just don't feel like it's ever going to come about. Some of you have been waiting a very, very long time for people that you know and love to come to Jesus who haven't done that yet. And you have prayed, and you have prayed, and you have prayed, and it just doesn't seem that it's happened. And I just wanted to come to you with encouragement to keep praying. There are other things involved there. God's given us free will, and God's not going to change a person's free will, but God doesn't stop knocking. God doesn't stop coming to them and showing himself to them, and your prayers matter, and you keep praying and believing because God is going to move. And so you just trust him, and you just keep doing it because it's what you can do. I was reminded this morning for some reason, I don't know why, but I was reminded the other day first of this, but then it clicked this morning as to why. We did a lot of frozen pizza growing up that you'd cook in the oven. You know, we do that at home a lot now too, but we'd go to my grandparents' house. They lived in Sydney, Ohio, and there was a local somebody around there that sold Gilardi's pizza, frozen pizzas. They were the best. And my grandparents would put in a Gilardi's pizza, and for some reason it was better than any others, and inevitably I would burn my mouth because I didn't have the patience to wait for it. It looked good. It was right there in front of me. I wanted it now, and I would burn my mouth, and once you burn your mouth, you don't get the full taste of the pizza, right? Just be patient. What God has before you is good. And at the right time, you get to eat it. And at the right time, he'll work in your situation. He'll work in the life of those that you love. And we're going to trust him for the result. That's the best we can do, right? Because his best is the best. See y'all next week. Have a great week.